God is personal is point number one if you're taking notes. And we have several verses we're going to be looking at. Some of the verses Brother Eric has put on the wall behind me, and others we will turn to. But point number one is God is personal. The commander of any army is essential in success in battle. Commanders must be wise, brave, and trustworthy. As believers, we have the best commander of all, God. It is vital that we know as much about him as possible. Many people say they believe in God, but their concept of God may not be accurate. Scripture, God's word, tells us about our great God. God wants people to know him. He has revealed himself through nature, his word, and his son. God wants us to know him, and how we get to know him is through his word. He tells us of him. It's kind of like a young couple, a guy and a gal. The guy wants to get to know the gal, her likes, her dislikes. Illustration, this happened last night to me. Even though I've been married to Rachel for 5 years now, I'm still knowing her likes and dislikes. So we were having supper, and we wanted some ice cream to go with our apple crisp that she was making. So I was like, I'll run over to Walmart, and I'll get some vanilla bean ice cream. And that's like a vanilla or whatever. So I get to Walmart, couldn't find any vanilla bean to save my life. So I'm like, oh, I'll grab the next best thing, French vanilla. It's got the vanilla name in it. So I get it home, I get it in the freezer. Rachel goes to pull it out. Oh, you got French vanilla? Yeah? I don't like that. It's like, oh, okay. She ended up eating it anyways, and she ended up kind of liking it, but it wasn't her favorite. So, so we get to know each other by studying them, and we need to study God. Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. He reveals himself through nature. The heavens declare the glory of God, the stars, the constellations, they declare the glory of God. The firmament, what we see out here on earth, declares, showeth his handiwork. He spoke this world into existence. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is the Word, and we have the Word of God in our hands here tonight. Romans 1:19 says, because that which ye have known of God is manifest in them, God hath showed it unto them. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even at his eternal power as Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We see that God did not hide himself from us. He did the exact opposite. He revealed himself to us. We see that in Romans chapter 1 there, verse 20. From the creation world are clearly seen. He clearly did not hide himself. He revealed himself through his word, through nature, and his son, Jesus Christ. Though God is in one essence, he is three eternal persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Don't ask me to expound on that because I don't know how that all works. Three persons in one, but I know it's true, and that we take that and for faith there. Turn over to John chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14, verse 16. And then we'll read verse 16 and 17 in John 14. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. Jesus is talking here in John chapter 14 and in the first part of verse 16, and I pray, Jesus is praying the Father. He's praying to the Father, God. That he shall give you a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So there are three persons in one that he is. So we see that God is personal, then we see God is eternal. God did not have a beginning, and he will not have an ending. He has always been and always will be. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2. Psalms 92. 90, chapter 90, verse 2, sorry. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before everything was made, he was here. It's hard to wrap our minds around that because we think everything in time. Everything has a beginning. Everything has an ending. We were born in my case, 1992, in April. And it's 2020 now. I haven't ended. God has never had a beginning. He's never had a point where he started. He always was. And it's just kind of hard to wrap our minds around that. But that it's awesome to think that he is eternal. He'll never have an ending. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 says, only thou hast immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Time neither controls or affects God. Peter describes this attribute of God in 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That again says, God is not bound by time. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. He always has and always will be. Point number 3, God is active. Genesis 1:1 tells us that God is active. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He brought forth all things into existence. Some people think God created the world and retreated into heaven, never concerning himself with his creation or to be bothered by it or anything like that. But we know that's not true. God is an active God in our lives and in this world. The Bible records many instances where God has acted in relation to this world and its people. God sent the flood in Genesis chapter 6, and in Joshua 10, he made the sun to stand still for just a couple instances there. God is even answering the prayers of his people. John 16:23, and in the day that ye shall ask me nothing, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, it doesn't mean that we ask anything like, I want that brand new truck or that, you know, that new iPhone or whatever. It's not saying that. It's what we need. What we ask for him, what we need, he will give it to us. God is also seeking sinners to receive his Son as their Savior. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If he didn't care about us, he would just sit up in heaven and not do anything. But this verse says the opposite. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Point number 4, God is omniscient. God is all. God knows everything about the past, present, and future. He never needs to learn anything. He is all knowledge. Psalms 139, verse 2 and 4 says, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows everything about us. And he knows however many hairs are on our head. He knows our secrets. He knows our likes, our dislikes. He knows everything about us. Next, we see that God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful And because God is all-powerful, he performs his work effortlessly. He never grows weak or weary, even though he's continually using his power on behalf of the universe and its inhabitants. He is capable of doing everything that he wills to do. Everything agrees with his other attributes. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, verse 8. Revelation 1, verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And Revelation 19, 6 says, And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as if the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He has all power, everywhere, in heaven and earth, all power which is to come. He is the Almighty. Next we see God is omnipresent. God is present everywhere. Though God is a separate being from his universe, he is present everywhere. God is not limited by space. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139. We'll start in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend unto heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from me thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the night, both are alike to thee. Wherever we go, we're going to find God. He's everywhere. It says there in Psalms, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. He's always with us. He's never going to leave us alone. He's never going to let us do our tasks by ourselves. Whatever we're going through, at this point in our life, or what we're going to be going through later on in the future, he's there. We don't have to be afraid because he's there. He's already there. He's omnipresent. Point number 7, God is holy. The holiness of God includes several truths. God is absolutely distinct from all his creatures, or his creation. By virtue of his infinite person and majesty, he is wholly pure, entirely separate from sin, which he hates. Exodus 15:11 says, Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? And in Isaiah 6, verse 3 says, And one cried to another and said, Holy, 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 the Lord is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He is holy. In him is no sin. Sinning for him would be the exact opposite of his nature. It is not in his nature to sin. God cannot sin. Hebrews 7:26 says, For such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He's made separate from sin. He is holy. It reminds me of the hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God is righteous, point number 8. God is righteous. Holiness and righteousness are related but distinct. God is righteous in all that he does, and his actions are just, and he is always right. Psalms 11:7, For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, 23. Who, when he was revealed not again, when he suffered and threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He is always going to judge righteously. Anything that is going to be done, he will judge righteously. He won't have an unrighteous judgment. It kind of goes back to the last point that we just saw of sin. God will always judge sin for what it is. It is sin. And our last point for tonight, God is love. God's love is more than emotional sentiment. God's love is unconditional. He loves all his creatures, and God's grandest display of love was shown when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for sinful mankind. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll start in verses 9 and 10. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, that we loved God. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In John 15:13 it says, greater love hath no man than this, than the man that lay down his life for his friends. And our last passage we're going to look up is John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's grandest display was sending his Son, Jesus Christ, for us. When we rejected him, he still loved us and sent his Son. Many of you know I have three children. I have one son and two daughters. I could not imagine or begin to imagine what it would be like giving up my son for other people that have rejected me, that have cursed me, that have done this to me. God, in his love, showed us mercy and sent Jesus Christ to be our substitute for sin. He paid the price for our sin, and every day we need to thank him for that. Our Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we can come together, Lord, and to learn from your word. Thank you for your word, that you have preserved it for us, that we can know, Lord, how to become more like Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for us, Lord. I pray that, Lord, if one doesn't know you as Savior tonight, that tonight they would receive your precious and free gift of salvation. I thank you again for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.